It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we are very pleased to welcome Valerie June to the radio station.
Well, howdy, and thanks for having me here. I'm really pleased to be here.
We've really been excited, as Jill from your label mentioned earlier. It seems like 6 or 7 months ago when she came in and simply showed us a clip, an online clip. Didn't have any music in hand, but had a clip of you performing live. And it was just one of those things where we went, okay, there's something there. And it has to have been an exciting 6 months for you, because it's been happening on both sides of the pond, like to say, right? Both here in the States and over in Europe. Let's start from the beginning. I've read that part of your desire, inspiration to become a performer traces all the way back to childhood, where you were just a real fan of Disney songs, and that you spent hours and hours, I imagine, you know, listening to them, absorbing them, and then, like every kid, fantasizing about, I could be singing those. Was that pretty much how it was?
It was. We started with the bare necessities. My parents brought us a sing-along tape, and we sang along to all the Jungle Book songs, and just like any kid, you know, but it was something that didn't ever leave me. It didn't ever leave me. I just was like, okay, I really, really, really love to sing. And so I sang pretty much my whole life. I've been a singer, and I didn't realize that it was something that I could do for a living, because I always thought, I was self-conscious, never really believed in myself as a singer. My voice was always different. It never really fit in anywhere. And so I was always second-guessing myself, but I knew I loved to sing, and I knew nobody was going to shut me up. It was just like, just keep singing, you know.
You took that fascination with songs as a child, and apparently you got pretty earnest about studying music, and particularly traditional music. You went to the Library of Congress, and you really spent time exploring music as a real student, yeah?
All the time. It's continuous study that I am on, like studying like old-time music and traditional music and roots music of the South. I just love it, and there are so many musicians who do folk and blues and country blues music. It's such a common thing. It's like, you know, somebody on this porch, somebody on that porch. It's such a common thing that you can explore forever and not know everybody.
Right.
And so it's deep. And I went through phases. Like, you know, there was the Disney phase when I was a kid. Then there was the phase of, like, 60s and 70s music, Joplin and Jimmy, and just being obsessed with that. And then there was the Bob Dylan phase and the Bob Marley phase. And, you know, so those phases came and went. But once I got to roots music, I just never left it. I just never left it because it's so deep. As soon as I found out about Elizabeth Cotton, I found out about Mississippi John Hurt. And then as soon as I found out about them, I found out about the Carter family. As soon as I found out about the Carter family, I found out about Jimmy Rogers and his yodeling. And it just, the stories of the people's lives intrigue me as well. So it's just a really deep, rich study that continues for me, because I'm just fascinated and I want to know more.
Thank you. as you started to perform, you were open and earnest, I guess would be one word enough, to really, kneel at the feet of a lot of the Memphis musicians and listen and learn and observe, but really whatever they could tell you. You really had that sense of respect for a lot of those musicians. And as you said, a lot of Memphis musicians, but you spend time picking up tips and stuff, yeah?
Yeah, many of them. There's a picker there named Andy Cohen who's amazing. He played with Reverend Gary Davis and awesome stuff. And I served him coffee every morning and hung out with him as much as I could, an older gentleman. And then Robert Belfour, who's there, an older gentleman as well. I'm sure I got on his nerves following him around every gig and asking him questions about music and just soaking up everything he says like a sponge, even still. And, you know, there's just so many Memphis musicians that they don't just play music, they study music.
Right.
And they didn't go to college to study music necessarily. They continue to study it every day. It's alive in their lives. And that's kind of how music is for me. And I guess when I left home, I could have gone to Nashville or I could have gone to Memphis, because Jackson and Humboldt, Tennessee, right, where I'm born and raised, is right kind of equal distant. But I'm really glad I went to Memphis because, you know, it doesn't get as much light as Nashville does in the music world in this present day, but the history is there. And I wanted to, go to art school or play music when I first moved there. I couldn't decide what I really wanted to do, but it was a perfect thing for me to go to Memphis and learn the history,
right,
and get the foundation set so that I could go from there to where I am today. And it's been a very long journey. It's been like a decade of studying music and teaching myself and sitting with this person and that person and talking about music and having conversations like this and going to the International Folk Alliance Conference and meeting the people who run the Library of Congress and being like, what? You mean I can actually go get a cart and stay there all day for days on end listening to old recordings, you know, 78s, we talked about stuff like that, and you know, they have 8-track tapes and all kinds of stuff. You can go listen to these things.
The excitement of playing Jay Leno last night and that, you know, that legendary platform, but now you put it in that context of those people that cared about you, you know, those people who devoted their lives to music, how proud they must be and how excited they must be. And it just made me cognizant of their sitting there back in Memphis watching our little girl on TV. And it had to be just a, you know, I'm sure you're going to get a lot of texts and messages and calls and stuff from them going, go, girl, go. They got to be loving it.
Yeah, they're excited about it. So.
Well, that's tremendous. You briefly touched upon so many people. You know, when you mentioned Booker T in Memphis, yikes. I mean, to be able to work with and even hear anything come out of Booker T's mouth, we all know that's a blessing. But then Dan Auerbach, I guess you sought Dan out and kind of sent him a couple of demos and seeing like, hey, you think these are any good? And you got together pretty quickly, from what I understand.
It was very quick. It happened like anything. I visualized working with him just from listening to his records. And Keep It Hid is the best one that I love. You know, the self-produced one. I just loved it. And so as I listened to it for winter, spring, summer, fall, I was like, it can't be that hard to work with this guy. And so I put it out there, and then Kevin Agunis, who lives here in California, he flew into Memphis and was hanging out with me. He said, who would you like to work with? And I told him, Gillian Welsh, Dan Auerbach, or M. Ward. I like the way they write. He said a living person, because right, he was like, who do you like? Who are you influenced by? I was right, like, all these people I'm influenced by, Robert Johnson, they're dead. People like that, Memphis Many.
Tough
so he's
to get
like,
that
tell
on
me somebody
record
who's alive now that we could actually work with. And so I told him those three. He said, well, I know Dan, and I'll call him right now and see if he wants to work with you. And so he gave Dan a call, and he was in Europe, but he said, send me some of Valerie's music, and if I like it, then we can get together and write. And so Kevin sent over a few videos, like The Drifter, one of my videos I made in New York when I was in my bedroom, just put the camera up and started playing the banjo, and he was like, I like this. Yeah, I can write with this girl. So we went into John Prine's studio, and we wrote like two songs the first day, good energy, really, really, really good energy. And then we had another writing session, and then it was my luck, I guess, that his studio was just being finished, Easy Eye in Nashville, because he had just moved from Akron. And so I didn't even know he was working on a studio. And then he was like, right after our last session of writing together, he was like, oh, my studio is just getting finished. So let me know if you want to record any of these songs, like with instrumentation and stuff. I was like, oh, that kind of is a good timing kind of thing, because I'm going to make a record. I just raised funds through Kickstarter.
By the way.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I should follow through with this. So
I might take you up on that idea, Dan. Yeah. Because I was looking to do just that.
Yeah, it's true. I sing the songs that I can personalize and that I can feel, that I can say, like, hey, working woman, I've been a working woman. I feel that. I can sing that every single night. There's other songs I've written that I can't sing because I just wrote it. And it's not for me to sing because I have no experience in that department at all. And so singing it night after night would be like acting for me. So I have to be able to sing it something that I'm feeling, something that I can relate to. But I do write songs that I can't relate to at all, that are just like, where did that come from? Oh my goodness. I just wrote a hip-hop song a little while back. It's a little childish, but it's funny and it's playful. And I just can't see myself singing it, but I did write it. So yeah, there's a different character that happens when you begin to perform the songs, and you do have to step out of the writing mind and step into the performance mind. And it's taken me years to be like not completely nervous when I hit the stage, you know, just kind of be like, okay, let it flow. I'm still working on that part.
But I'm going to hazard a guess that once you get going,
yeah,
that stuff's gone. Because once you get into it, and it's like every performance, if you have an appreciative audience, then you start to really feel that connection, and then nerves are gone. Now it's like, okay, how far can I take this?
It's like flying over beautiful mountains is what I imagine a bird flying over mountains to be after it gets going. Dr. John helped me with that. Ooh. Because we were going on stage at Bonnaroo, and I was background singing with him and Dan, and I said, are you nervous? And he was standing there with his cane, and he said, no, And I said, but this is like 150,000 people. And he was like, I'm not nervous at all. And he said, it's going to be what it's going to be. The crowd hears one thing. The sound guys hear one thing. You hear another thing. I hear another thing. And it's just going to be what it's going to be. We've rehearsed all week. You've done the work. Just get up there and have a great time. And so whenever I go on stage and I'm really, really nervous, then I hear his voice. Well, if you're tired and feeling so wrong, you wake up at night thinking that only if you had somebody, would I be somebody, somebody to did they say there were plenty of fish in the sea, but you're out in cold and you're feeling empty, or are you looking for somebody? Will I be somebody, somebody to love? Will I be
tonight, you're going to be performing at you know, one of the great record stores anywhere at Amoeba Records at 6:30.
Yes.
And we're going to advise our listeners, you know, if you want to see Valerie June in a real intimate setting, and one in which I'm sure she'll be hard-pressed to leave the racks of vinyl to actually and perform, you want to get there early because it's tonight at Amoeba. And then tomorrow night, you're going to do a performance at the Bootleg Theater.
With the full band. Tonight is solo and very intimate, and tomorrow is with the full band at the Bootleg Theater, yes.
Well, this performance today gives everyone a taste, you know, and the the enthusiasm, the purity of intent, you know, and intention's a great word here, you know. I'm now seeing that young girl, you know, learning those Disney songs, you know, with a passion, and you haven't lost one iota of that passion, which is a beautiful thing to see. So sharing this with us today was wonderful, and we so appreciate you coming out and performing on KCSN.
Well, thank you, Sky. Thank you for having me here in California. I really appreciate it and hope to see y'all later.
We certainly will. You can count on that. It's Valerie June, live on 88.5 KCSN.